That's the old joke in New York. They say, if someone's asking for directions, they say, the famous place to play music is Carnegie Hall. So they go, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? You go, practice, practice, practice. So Guru Maharaj says the same thing about devotion. He said it's like drops of water on the stone. The stone in this case being our hearts, you could say. But he's saying sooner or later, those drops, this constant dropping over and over and over again, will wear it away, and then one day it'll pierce through. He liked that sloka, Vidyate Hridaya Granti Chidyante Sarva Sangshaya, which is interesting. There's a few slokas that appear twice in the Bhagavatam that are almost identical. And this is one of them. So it comes in the first canto, like the second chapter, it remains very important beginning section. And then it appears again in the 11th canto. And only the last line is modified a little. So it's saying, what we told you in the beginning, it's coming again. It's always like that. Like, now you're in a better, as Saraswati Thakur would say, now you're in a better position, having read this whole Bhagavatam. We told you this in the very beginning, that this, the, what is it? Lust has a stranglehold on the heart. And what you're going to hear here will cut that knot. That's why it's very peculiar that Narada is chastising Veda Vyas. Guru Maharaj told us. Think about it. Veda Vyas is sometimes described as Bhagawan. He's minimally a Shaktivesh avatar. And he's Krishna Dwaipayana is his name. Veda Vyas. Because Vyas is also a title and a position. So we're saying Vyas Puja and things like that. He is the original. So we'll sometimes say Brahma, but Vyas. So, right? And Veda Vyas is in his ashram on the banks of the Saraswati River in the Himalaya. But as Guru Maharaj would say, it was actually lower then. He said the mountains, they're actually coming out and going higher, higher, and higher. And that's the present state of the Himalayas. He said once, interestingly, in the reverse, Chaitanya Saraswat Gupta Govardhana was once very high, but has come down over the years, and with the Ganga and everything. But it was once high land. So Veda Vyas, he's in his ashram on the banks of the Saraswati, and he's given all these Vedic literature, compiled them, Mahabharata, it has Bhagavad Gita in it. You would think, like, everything's perfect. What more could you... But what we're told... This is how the Bhagavatam begins, after the introductory slokas. He's on the banks of the Saraswati in his ashram, and he feels depressed. It's actually how it starts. He's wondering, what's wrong? I thought I was doing some seva. I compiled all this Vedic literature, the Puranas, Mahabharata, Bhagavad Gita, Vedanta. Like, why do I feel wrong inside myself? I don't feel good. I feel depressed. I feel like I've failed at what I was trying to do. And this, we were talking about this earlier. This is the, I was with Avadhut Maharaj. He's in Italy, and I spoke to him, and we were talking about, I was praising him for what he's doing, but he's not, as they say, resting on his laurels. He's saying, no, what we have to do is yet to be done. It's nothing. Oh, yes, let's now praise one another, all these great things. He's saying, no, what we have to do is yet to be done. We're preparing for that, and it made me remember Guru Maharaj telling, unbelievably, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who has in Guru Maharaj's slogan says, Gurudam, Granthadam, Gauradam, Namadam, Muda, Bhaktidam, Buridam, Bande, Bhakti Vinodadam, Sada. What are Bhakti Vinod Thakur's gifts to the world and to the Krishna Conscious Movement? Everything. Everything we have, we got from Bhakti Vinod. It's not like you can make a list here and then, no. Everything that we have is a gift from Bhakti Vinod Thakur. You know, all of our books, our songs, right? Even the books he didn't write, we're talking about the Bhagavatam, Charitamritam, he brought them back into circulation. They were out of print. You couldn't even get one. You couldn't get a Chaitanya Charitamritam. He brought these books back into print, even them. And then Bhagavad Gita with commentaries by great acharyas, the Granthadam, Gauradam. Then what does he do? He reveals Mahaprabhu's birthplace. But then not only that, like we're now very proud of GPS and Google Maps. I use it all the time. I mean, it's fascinating, and the satellite view. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gave us like Google Maps of Navadvip, spiritual Navadvip, so that you can see it in 3D. You can understand where you are and what happened there. Otherwise, if we went there, what would we see? Like when you go on the Navadvipam Parikrama and certain places aren't developed yet, you see a rice field. And then we all stop and like Tirtha Maharaj will come out and they go, this place is very significant, and start reading from the Navadvipam Mahatmya. And then we realize we're in some divine environment. But that's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur can see. We're seeing a rice field or greenery, and we're thinking it's nice. He's seeing in real time its divine position, all the pastimes that have happened there, that are happening there in real time before his eyes, so many things. So he reveals Navadvip Dham. And what does Saraswati Thakur say? In his mad talks, he would say, I want to reveal the majesty of the Dham with gold and jewels, the finest jewels in the world, and gold and silver. And like the devotees hearing him say this, they were thinking, like someone like in accounting, you know, is he like, where will the money come for? I was just, you know, make to pay for all this. And Saraswati Thakur, still in like divine, he said, oh, don't worry. He said, I will take one brick from a temple in Vaikuntha and bring that down into this world. It's Chintamani. And it'll pay for everything. Don't worry. So he reveals Navadvipam, Granthadam, Gauradam, gives the holy name. We read in Sharanagati, when you read Bhaktivinoda Thakur's descriptions of what the holy name of Krishna, the real Krishna Nam, what that, when he's saying Nama Rupa Guna Lila, from the sound of Krishna's name, he's saying some mysterious forms appears out of the sound. He's talking about Krishna, Shama Sundar Krishna. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Krishna Nam. Some mysterious color starts emanating from the sound and the form, and then Krishna appears, and then he starts revealing particular qualities, and then he takes me into his pastimes. That's his description in Sharanagati of taking Krishna Nam. That Bhaktivinoda Thakur who, we're told, and in the Bhagavatam, I was always fascinated by this sloka that said that a pure devotee, as a drunkard, is unaware of whether they're clothed or not. A pure devotee is so intoxicated with Krishna conception, they're not aware if they're embodied or not. Because the Vasamsi Jarnani Yatavya, the body's a dress. That's the comparison. Just as the classic caricature of a drunkard, They don't know. They may be naked or insane. The devotee is so intoxicated by the beauty of Krishna and Krishna conception that they whether their body is on or off. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his final days was like that. So that his assistant, Krishna Das, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is in his house sometimes completely naked, just in the upper world, and his swaroop, and just with his body remaining behind a little bit. Right? So if someone would come to see him, his attendant, Krishna Das, would take some cloth and just like put it over him, and he'd be in the chair like that, and he would say like, some people have come to see you. Bhaktivinoda Thakur would be in the chair, and the people would say, could you tell us something about Krishna Nam? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Krishna Nam? Krishna? Krishna? And they would see his hair start standing, his body trembling, all the asta sattvika vikara, the eight types of ecstatic symptoms and transformation in his body. He would fall onto the floor fainting, just saying, Krishna, just being asked if he could say something about Krishna. Right? And it says, he gave us Krishna Nam. That's his Krishna Nam. Gurudev will rightfully, perfectly say, he'll say, Guru Maharaj, he can take that. We're serving him. Say, don't try and think, oh, now we're going to, yeah, we're on the order of Guru and Vaishnav. We're trying. He's saying, but no, that's for the higher Vaishnavas. We will serve them. Let them, those who are in that divine domain, let us see that no disturbance will go to them. Their Guru Maharaj is in the upper world, all this internal dialogue, and we'll take care of everything here and service them. And by doing that, what is in Guru Maharaj's heart will come to us. That will be our method. That's why he's the perfect servitor and understands the Rupa Manjari. Anthem, all the Gaudiya, that's the song of the Gaudiyas, Sri Rupa Manjari Pada. That service to the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Rupa's representative, that is our mantra, our japa, our tapa, all these things. Gurudev understood that perfectly, perfectly personified that. Namadamana, Bhaktidam, Burda, and what type of devotion, as Guru Maharaj says, Sri Radha Parasevanam Ritamaho. When he identified, this is beautiful. Again, I've only heard Guru Maharaj speak like this. When he said, like, he wanted to capture Saraswati Thakur, his guru. He has a plan how to capture him. We know every... someone's capturing me. The ones that bite. Anyway, so Guru Maharaj he has like a strategy how to capture Saraswati Thakur, but it's a very brilliant strategy. So he's thinking, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is everything to Saraswati Thakur. So if I will praise Bhaktivinoda Thakur, not in some superficial way or an insubstantial way, but really, truly reveal the glories of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and what is his gift to the world, then I will get the grace of Saraswati Thakur. That's why, it's not the only reason, but it's in Guru Maharaj's words, one of the reasons why he wrote the Bhaktivinoda Viraha Dasakam, which was many great things Guru Maharaj wrote, Saraswati were after. This was in his lifetime. This Saraswati Thakur red with his own divine Nayana Mani Mundri eyes. And that's when he said, and he asked Goswami, like, who wrote this? You know, it's so overwhelming what's there. We talk forever about one or two slokas. There are so many things there. He said, who wrote this? And Goswami said, oh, Sridhar Maharaj. And that's when Saraswati said, no, Sridhar Maharaj has not written this. He's like saying, it's so perfect. Bhaktivinod Thakur has written this through Sridhar Maharaj. It was that perfect. And that's right around the time when he reveals what Bhaktivinod Thakur's gift to the world is, Radha Dasyam, the service of the holy lotus feet of Radharani, which is also the message of that Bhagavatam. And when Narada tells Vyas, you didn't tell people everything, Vedavyas. I know you meant well, but in the name of religion, people are going to remain bound in this world. They're not going to cut that knot that's got a stranglehold on the heart. And you know what? When they don't cut it and they go on with their program to live in the world, and you ask them, why do you do this? They're going to say, because Vedavyas said so. That's what he knows. They're going to invoke your name. Say, Vedavyas, are you a greater authority than Vedavyas? Yeah, we follow him. And this is the program he outlined. That's how Narada approached it. So you, Vedavyas, you have to tell them the full possibility of a life of love with Krishna and about the glories of Radharani, if you really want to spell it out. Achyuta Priya also means her. So anyway, what does Guru Maharaj say after praising Bhaktivinoda Thakur, revealing his gift to the world? Then does he say, so you Bhaktivinoda, I want, you know, to be connected with you? That's not what he says. He says, here's my prayer to you, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that I can be granted the position of being a eternal servitor of your dear Doita Das. That's his prayer in the next sloka. Saying, so you bless me that I can become Saraswati Thakur's servitor. Right? And that's how he captured him. But anyway, so Bhakti Dham, Bhuri Dham, Bhane, Bhakti. And at last, after Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when I said to Guru Maharaj, this story, there's something that's needs adjusting, the story of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Because he shows himself like an ordinary person for so many years. Then he says, you know, he comes in connection with, there's the Western Savior Jesus, but then the Eastern Savior Gauranga. And then suddenly, there's this unparalleled output of original writings, the Jiva Dharma, Chaitanya Shikshamrita, all these things. I'm saying there's something that's not being fully told in this story to us. And Guru Maharaj said, yes. He said, when we examine the wealth of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we can only conclude that he descended from Goloka Vrindavan, from the highest plane, descended here to distribute something. And this is the method that he chose to distribute it. That's all. It's not possible that in one lifetime someone who appears to have a nebulous connection then gets connected and then becomes a super devotee and all these divine literatures and everything we have, the whole wealth of the Krishna consciousness movement is passing through him. Sometimes Gurudev would say that what we have is, it was, and this is on the last part, he said that Saraswati Thakur was attracted to the wealth in the melted heart of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. What that divine melted heart produced, that Saraswati Thakur found irresistible. And that brought him, so that after Bhaktivinoda assembled mined all the treasures of Krishna consciousness, at last he needed an agent for distribution, and that was Saraswati Thakur, who we know in fulfillment, also the Vedic prophecy appeared in Jagannath Puri to liberate the world. And Gaurang said, and in his poem, as Mahaprabhu began in Navadvip and his pastimes finish in Puri, Saraswati Thakur appears in Puri and back to Navadvip. So, yeah. No, they're just they're acting dharmically according to their position. But why did I say that about GPS? But Navadita Mahatmya. Yeah, but why did I talk about that? From the beginning, there was a Narada and Vyas and the Bhagavad, there was a reason. Anyway. Oh, well, I could say this. That, so, Guru Maharaj said that Einstein once said about Gandhi that in the future, people might think he was just a legend. Like in time, they'll think that just there couldn't, it's not a real person. You know, if you look at his life and what he did and the way he said, there'll come a time when they won't even believe it was a real person, just like some legend that you tell. He said that. And it was, in other words, great praise. So sometimes when I think back of my good fortune to three in this lifetime, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Guru Maharaj, and Srila Gurudev, I also wonder if in the future people understand this level of pure devotee that we interacted with them. They cast their merciful glance upon us. They were merciful and kind to us. That the level, their depth of Krishna consciousness, which they're not exposing to everyone, they're not making a show. It's like Devashish Prabhu wrote me a very nice letter today and reminded me of the times in London where very, very early in the morning, like 3:30 like that, I'd go to see Srila Gurudev sometimes with Shruta Shrava Prabhu Vaishnava Maharaj. And Gurudev would be like quoting these slokas from the Antya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamritam, which in Prabhupada's books there's sometimes a chapter called like the inconceivable behavior of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We can't discuss what they are, but they're there. And in Purayan, continuous reading, we encounter them. They're very, very beautiful. And they're about, let's just say, the beauty of Krishna conception and all of its aspects. That much we can say. And you're right, he would just be in this domain, relishing these things. And then we would come and he'd share a little bit with us, but sort of like come re-enter this domain. And I guess that's thematically in line with what I was saying about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Oh, that that Bhaktivinoda, after giving all that, we're told in the end, he was saying, I failed you, my Lord. I couldn't do the desired service. We can learn something from them. They do not give up. But that's what the point. I was talking with Avadhut Maharaj, Srila Avadhut Maharaj earlier, that look, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gave everything and he didn't think of it like that, that what he wanted was achieved. Saraswati Thakur, overhearing the new Mantra Dika initiate talking about, you know, shooting flower arrows at the holy body of Krishna, turned to Guru Maharaj and said, I've been trying to offer a flower to the holy of body of Krishna for so long, but as yet I am unsuccessful. And Guru Maharaj said, it was as if to suggest He'd been doing this for many, many lifetimes. And then so the conclusion is, so are these things meant to depress us, discourage us? No. The reason Guru Maharaj mentions these things is to show that it's dynamic and that Krishna conception is so high, so noble, so wonderful, that if even if not achieving it in this life or in numerous lifetimes, Krishna is so charming and attractive, you can't give up the search. That's what he means to say. That takes it to another level. Because we're saying, oh, I'm worried now. I'm nervous. My program was to realize Krishna in this lifetime. Right? Not like that. That's Guru Maharaj doesn't want to achieve Krishna that you get so easily. And I've told Vishwanath when they're, he's saying, if Krishna reveals himself by chanting his holy names, how come these devotees, he's not revealing himself? The ones who take his name every day, right, so many times a day, he's not revealing himself to them. And Vishwanath says, he could, but he knows they're capable of better. And he wants, when the heart reaches a particular level of like hankering and cannot live without Krishna for another moment, that's when Krishna likes to appear. That's what Bhaktivinoda said too in his final days. He said, I can't live without Krishna. I don't know, maybe another day too, I'm finished. Can't live another moment without Krishna. That type of intensity. That's what Guru Maharaj praises. And that's what our Guru Varga, the quality of what they want us to achieve. Something very deep. Maybe it'll take many lifetimes. Then that'll be very good for us. But if we remain faithful to them, whether this excuse me, whether now or a little later, we must be drawn into their plane. That's for sure. By the heart's genuine affection, we'll be drawn into that plane, their domain. So these times are full of remembrance, and I just feel myself like three times blessed to get the connection of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Guru Maharaj, and Srila Gurudev. And so, and all of you, and happily you bring about remembrance of them and me, and that's my good fortune. So I'm happy to see all these things. You see how generous Gurudev is in his praise. This is one of his specialties. When I said to him once, I mean, I have committed so many offenses to him, I can't count them. But once I said to him, after one of these kind of praise talks, right, we're in my room, and I go, Maharaj, you know, it's like, could you like tone it down a little bit? It's too much for me. And he was like hurt. Like, I visibly hurt. And he said, this isn't flattery. He said, I'm practicing my religion. He said, my religion is glorifying him. Like, this is from my heart. It's for real. And then I was even more overwhelmed and also captured by him to know that really his heart was capable of expressing all these things, all this praise and affection for devotees, and it was real, because his heart is so large. And even as we travel around, people who have never met him would sort of pick up on that instantly. So I'm also remembering him and how affectionate he is to me. all of you, to Lalita, Paramananda Prabhu, everybody, Avadhut Maharaj. Maintaining everyone, actually like propping us up with his love and affection. We might be struggling in different ways. Usually we're struggling with ourselves. That's what the real struggle is internal. But he is, through love and affection, just propping everybody up and making you realize, yeah, you'll make it through that too. By the grace of Guru and Vaishnav, be happy. Hare Krishna, Jai Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Raj Ki, Jai Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Raj Ki, Jai Srila Bhakti, Jai Srila Bhakti Vinaya Avadhut Maharaj Ki, Jai Hiraj Govardhan Ki, Jai Nithai Gopremanandi. And thanks to all the devotees who made these things. I don't know who, if somebody knows. Yes. That you got everybody to cooperate. That's what I was like shocked at. But you got, I mean, it means some thought went into this in advance. So that's very good. Yes, she always tells me that. Whenever I tell her, she said she didn't do anything and this mysterious team did everything. But they handed it over to her at the very end. Because they're too humble. Anyway, when I asked Gurudev what in 2000 what he wanted me to do, and he said, there is this one devotee named Jagannath Balava Prabhu. He's preaching quite extensively in Russia, and I think the two of you should meet and work together. So, in Mayapur, I ran into Jagannath Balava Prabhu. And we understood Gurudev wanted us to come together, and we shared a rickshaw. And according to our body mass at the time, that was still possible. Yes, at that time. Okay. But then, in retrospect, we both appreciate how Gurudev brought us together. Of course, Jagannath Balava Prabhu became Bhakti Vimalavadut Maharaj. By following Gurudev's plan, Paramananda Prabhu and I were talking about it earlier. What Gurudev revealed to him for Thailand, and we follow, we see these things are gradually all falling into place, just as he said. Sometimes Gurudev would say very simple things, but in time, you see them start to manifest. Like in Lakta, and Peter, that time, Avadhut Maharaj has in the room in Moscow. It's a famous picture of Gurudev. He's just taking his lati, his cane, and pointing where the temple will be. And then on the soil, he made some indications. Right? He showed where it will be, made the indications. Later, when they brought the, what do you call them? Surveyor, right? Surveyors with their, instruments and everything. All the marks that Gurudev made were perfect. But he just sort of, there's a picture, he swings the stick and shows. And then we saw gradually, because they have this legend there that there's hidden treasure buried in the sands of Lakta. And sometimes you see these Russian guys going around with minesweepers, huh? Yeah, and they're like, they're searching for stuff. So, and they find stuff too. Yeah. But, so I've always said the hidden treasure of Lakta is the temple there. It's just like sprung out of the soil there. It's like architectural wonder. It's very beautiful. So here, things are going on very nicely, and this is our baby year in Chiang Mai. We lived in World Club Land for 3 years. Now this is like, we're not even 1 year olds yet. We have to approach it like that. We're learning how to live in Bong Bong. Trying to learn how to say it. So.
I think they say with an F. P is an F.
No, well, it goes like, it's like, you know, pom pom, pom pom, like P-O-N-E, pom. Is there, huh? Right? Pom, yeah. After saying ban pong, and people go, you know, like, what's the name? Pond. No, it's pom pom. We should at least know the name of the place where we live. But so we're in that 1 year, that's what I call it, the 1 year learning period. And about the water, the electrical, all of our friends, those lizards.
Scorpions.
Oh, and now I understand there's different cochineals. So we've got one, it's called the, what is it, super coel? That really big one with the, they're like that, and those are the ones that woo-hoo-hoo, they make that. Then the other ones that do the other sound, then we have those lizards. The one last night is really major league loud. I mean, you know the ones that do that.
Uh-oh.
Most of the time it sounds like uh-oh. Sometimes it sounds like something else to me. Anyway, it's loud.
It lives next to me.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah,
because it just sounds like it's like next to my ear.
Yeah, you saw him with Anna Krishna. He's like, it should be beautiful.
Yeah.
No.
I went outside one night to see him doing with a flashlight. And whenever I put the flashlight on him, he wouldn't move. He'd like stop. And I'd take the light away, he'd move a little bit. And his body was like that big, and then his tail. He's quite impressive. So we're, you know, we have this. So anyway, we're in this very healthy ecosystem. That we should be happy about. This place is alive. There's this full of living beings here. That, like those lizards, I think they probably went into hibernation during the, because we didn't hear them in the winter, right? Then suddenly, when the springtime came, they came out, and then, and the, what do you call those, cicada, those that make all the noise, and they're like red dragonflies and red praying mantises. There's all kinds of. But that just tells me the place is super healthy eco-environment. So we should be happy about that. They already live here. We're the new people. So we should learn to live with them as far as possible. And take care of the fruit trees. Now we have jackfruit, papaya, this mango. I went on that walk today and saw there's a huge banana grove nearby. We have the Lilavati flowers, other flowers, the tick-tickies. I just think the place needs to be irrigated. Now the rain's starting to come a little bit. I think it'll probably start raining. Yeah. So then we'll be okay.
Not to burn things under trees.
Yeah, the leaf burning, if it's done like in piles in a non-tree area, or and also for I'm attached to the yellow bamboo, so
it's not that close to the principle.
Yeah, I don't mean old. There's a difference between yellow bamboo and old bamboo. What I'm talking about, there's this yellow bamboo. If you look at it carefully, it's healthy. And it has little green stripes in it. It's considered very auspicious.
And it's personal protection, Mara.
And I noticed they like, that's what they use to make the scaffold over here. You know. So whenever possible, protect the yellow bamboo and fruit trees. We know from Vedic point of view, it's a sin to kill a fruit tree, any tree. And, you know, but we know sometimes they have to be removed, but not a fruit tree. And by that, we mean papaya, mango, like, banana trees is another thing. Some people say bananas are flowers from heaven. Have you ever seen them from an airplane? Anyway, that's another story. But I don't mean that's a banana stalk, or that's a, you know, you can pick them up and move them all over the place. Talking about the other things we have here. And Guru Maharaj, he and Satish Prabhu, they cleared the land at Chaitanya Sarasvat Mat themselves. And very respectfully, because it's Navadvip Dham, and we consider this Gupta Govardhan. If anything had to be removed, they did that very respectfully of the life. And even a plant, or, you know, they're here too. Like Prabhupada would tell about, you know, particularly in India, I don't know about it, but flowers have ants in them. So you have to shake them out sometimes. And he said, but sometimes a flower gets offered to the lotus feet of the deity, and then an ant crawls out of the flower, and Prabhupada said, and kisses the lotus feet of Krishna, then he's better than the pujari. So even these, you know, all of these little living beings here, this is their place too. There's just, we don't ever want to like take any kind of life accidentally, unnecessarily, or thoughtlessly. Hare Krishna.